Okay, I got our brother Pat on the beginning of my recording. He's here. We're going for this. This is in reference to chapter 18. And we're going to pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us, what you represent to us, God. And Father, I pray as I get into the teaching here, I pray that you would speak to us mightily. I pray that you would keep us humble through all these things that you're allowing us to do and participate in. And God, just to see your kingdom going forth, Lord, to see the growth coming from everyone in this Reddick Corp, Lord. It's incredible to me. And I just pray for your blessing and God, again, reveal to us the things you would have us to learn as we lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in reference to chapter 18, the Lord led me to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24. And I titled this, The Power as Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You know, as Patrick brought out, as you brought out, Kevin, in your assignment, just the power of two or more in Christ. So here's what we need to understand. We are ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being sent to represent him in our families, our workplaces, our communities, and really in the world. What cuts to the heart of our ministry comes down to our devotion to God. But in order to be effective, we need to worship him. We need to take the time out of our busy schedules to listen and study his word. Why? Because God's desire is that we spend time communing with him. And this is how he does it. Doesn't matter if we're at home, at work, maybe on the road traveling. Our highest privilege, our greatest joy, is to be in God's will. So let me go ahead and read these scriptures here. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick there and say to them, The kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, The very dust of your city which clings to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. Now I want you to notice that these men aren't called apostles, but they were still sent. That word sent is translated from the original Greek Aramaic text, apostello. The literal meaning is they were given a commission to represent the Lord. They were not only sent by him, they were also sent before him to prepare the way for his coming. I mean, you have to love it. Instead of praying for easier work, they were to pray for more laborers to come and help them. That should be our prayer today. It's a dangerous calling because we are invading the enemy's territory. Jesus said they'd be like lambs among wolves. But here's the key. As long as they relied on the Lord, they would win the battle. Vance Havner would often say, any man who takes Jesus Christ seriously becomes a target of the devil. Most church members do not give Satan enough trouble to arouse his opposition. You know, it's pretty amazing. For the first time ever, I've been for 3 years now, October, 3 years, teaching Sunday morning and Wednesday nights on Facebook and YouTube. I've got a couple hundred people that follow me. And it's so amazing because I've never been hit before. But Wednesday night's teaching, I taught on the third church in Revelation, Pergamos, the compromising church. That next morning, Thursday morning, I had 70-some Satanists who had come on, and they were coming against me. They were cursing God's son. They were calling him an effing son of God. I mean, it was just horrific. I've never been hit like that before. And then it dawned on me, this is what's going to happen if you're invading the enemy's territory. So, of course, I deleted all of them. Thank God for buttons on a computer. And I blocked them so they won't come up again. These guys were told to trust God to provide their shelter and food. They're told not to be embarrassed to accept hospitality while laboring for the Lord and bringing a blessing. Jesus said the laborer is worthy of his wages. Paul wrote to Timothy about that in 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. They were ambassadors of peace, bringing healing to the sick, delivering people from demon possession, and most importantly, proclaiming the good news of salvation to those who were lost. Something else here we need to understand. This was a special power Jesus gave to his apostles and to the 70 that he sent out. They were special times of preaching and ministries that he sent them on while he was still here on earth. Today, our Lord has commissioned us to proclaim the gospel. It's not necessary to perform miracles, even though he can do them through us. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, and Luke 24, verses 46, 49. Verse 13 to 16 says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. And that was a form of repentance in the Old Testament. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So Jesus names three old cities that had been judged by God. Sodom in Genesis 19, and Tyre and Sidon in Ezekiel chapters 26 to 28, and in Isaiah 23. They were a warning to three cities of his day, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. These three cities mentioned by Jesus is because they had been given more privilege than the three old cities. They had more accountability. They had more responsibility from what they were given by him. If Sodom, Tyre, and Sidon were destroyed because of their unbelief, because of their wickedness, because of their rejection of God, how could Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum escape the same judgment? Jesus said to hear his ambassadors. That's you and me as believers. It literally means to hear him. To despise his representatives means to despise him. I mean, think about it. Here's the point. The way a nation treats its ambassador is the way it treats the government the ambassador is representing. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and whom the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Jesus is talking about the joy we can have, the power we have when we get together, the joy of being in his service, the joy of being saved, the joy of having God's authority and power. Jesus had given them power and authority to heal, to cast out demons, and to preach the word. And as they proclaimed the word, they were very successful. Jesus knew that they had heard his instructions. They were still giving God all the glory. They were looking at the victories they had as they went through the cities. But notice Jesus points out, it's only a part of the war that would ultimately end with the defeat of Satan. John chapter 12, verse 31, 32, and Revelation 12, verses 7 and 9. Satan doesn't want to think about this, but he'll ultimately be judged when Jesus casts him into the lake of fire and brimstone in Revelation chapter 20. But until then, in case you haven't noticed, our enemy is not giving up. He's still on the move today. Satan is going to attack us because he wants to destroy us. That's why Jesus gave words of encouragement in verse 19. He was telling his disciples, the authority he had given them was still good. Do you know that is still good today, 2,000 years later? They can walk over the enemy without being afraid. But he cautioned them to not just rejoice over their victories, but to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. You know what that was? That was a statement of assurance. Your names are written in heaven. You're going to heaven. Don't trip out on the spirits and the demons and all this stuff Satan can try to do. You see, what should be our highest joy? It's not service. It's not even in our salvation. Our highest joy should be in submitting to God's will. Because think about this. God's will is the foundation for service and salvation. We're privileged with being ambassadors of Jesus Christ, especially because we get to see and hear the things those in past ages wanted to see and hear. It's evidence today. Jesus is still at work. And you know what? You and I, as born again believers, and the power that he has entrusted in us through the Holy Spirit is all part of that work. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us. Lord, I pray that when we get to heaven, that we're not embarrassed because we had this power that you have given us. It's like it says in the Old Testament, and I can't quote it perfectly, but one will put 1,000 to flight, and 10 will put 10,000 to flight. It's just the power of being together and working with you, Lord God, and what you did. And this is what we glean from out of this teaching here. Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask that you make us strong in everything that we do for your kingdom and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.